What's up? This is your girl Chanel West Coast, and you're listening to Sound Sessions. Looking so fly, I'm tired with the sky. 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 Call out the fam.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions. This is Michael, and Kevin is out today, but we are so pleased to welcome a true badass with class playing tonight at Havoc, or HVAC, however you want to say it. It's a great spot here in Wrigleyville in Chicago. We welcome the one and only Chanel West Coast. What's up, Chanel?
What's up?
How's it been going? How's everything been going with the tour and just jetting around the world?
Good. Just, you know, staying busy, trying to get that music worldwide.
Yeah, I feel it. You know, honestly, you've been jet setting all over the place, playing shows. I know you've been modeling. How do you keep up the stamina when you're just playing all these things and have all this stuff in your table?
You know, I really like to be busy. I feel like whenever I'm not busy and I'm bored, I like to say that's when I get into trouble. I prefer to be busy. I like to stay on the go. I love being like, you know, traveling and being in different cities and getting to see, you know, new things I've never seen. So I really like it. I like, you know, the more that I've got going on, the better I feel, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of that, you definitely have a great social media presence as well that
Thank you. I've been seeing.
I mean, from Snapchat to Instagram and everything. And just speaking from like an artist standpoint, what is that power that social media and everything holds in today's music industry? And how can an artist use that to, you know, to really just benefit themselves?
Well, social media holds a lot of power. A lot of people don't know that I used my MySpace music page to make a lot of connections back in the day, which is actually how I met Rob Dyrdek. And he ended up asking me to be on his show. But even from MySpace to when Twitter came out and all of these different social media platforms, every time I got on a new one, I immediately got a lot of followers and a lot of interaction. And I realized, I was like, wow, this is a really great way to interact with people. And I wasn't actually aware of how many fans I had until things like Twitter came out and Instagram. You know, I think it's very powerful. I think there's a lot of bad things about it too, because I think social media has made it to where a lot of people who aren't necessarily artists also get an opportunity to like put themselves out there. And I think that you just gotta be able to pick who really deserves the shine, and you know, you gotta find the right people to follow that actually have the talent, that aren't just people posting cool pictures, you know. I think that it's a very strong way to get out there. But I think that it's important to have something, a product that you're presenting, you know?
Absolutely. Do you find that, like, so you're saying that just genuineness really shines through, especially if you're a good artist?
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to find you no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's also, we were just talking about this, it's a good way to be deceiving too, though. So that's why as consumers and fans, you gotta know that when you're looking at the Instagram or the Snapchat or whatever, you got to be able to see what's real and what's where the true talent is and everything, because there are some people out there with huge followings, I think, that don't really have a lot going on. I'm not really sure what they do when I look at their profiles.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of people who are super talented who I discovered through social media, like singers and actors that, you know, who do funny skits on YouTube and stuff. And I'm like, wow, like, this is so cool. I would have never known about this person if I didn't get on YouTube today, you know? So I think there's a lot of power behind social media.
Absolutely. It's really interesting the fact that you were found by Rob as being a music artist before you even became an actress and you know, everything else.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember I told myself, I was like, I'm never going to do a reality show. Like, I don't want to do reality. But also with Rob's show, like Fantasy Factory, it wasn't necessarily a reality show. It's obviously about Rob's place of business and all the things he's got going on. But there's a lot of stuff, obviously. We plan ahead of time and, you know, a lot of crazy things that are worked out before, you know, we get there. So it's not all like raw and real in the moment. So it's a different type of show. And when he explained that to me, I was like, all right, I'm down. Let's do it. And at first, I would say the first two seasons, for me, it was actually a little rough from going, being on his shows, to be taken seriously as an artist. But then I started getting booked for appearances, and I started using that platform to get my music out. Like, when people wanted to book me for an appearance, I'd be like, well, I do music. I want to perform. And I basically insisted on performing at all my club appearances till it got to the point where people were only booking me to perform. So it's been crazy coming from Rob's show. And from MySpace.
Yes, but what a platform, I mean, to use your music, because you were able to rap on that show too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, That is cool, but it's like also, I don't think people realize how many episodes we've had.
Mm-hmm.
So out of, I'd say maybe like 400 episodes, there's only been like about five where I really get to show my music. And a lot of people have missed those five episodes. So there's still a lot of people who aren't aware of my music, but that's also why social media is amazing, because I've been able to use my social media to really get it out there. You know?
Absolutely. And I was going to save this till the end of the interview, but I might as well ask you right now. I heard that there was a resurgence of the Fantasy Factory that it might be happening in the next year or so.
Wait, what? Where'd you hear that?
I thought I saw you mention that in another interview that I was watching. Is it not true?
Oh, maybe that was an old interview.
Okay.
Because I definitely think that show's done.
Done.
I mean, I thought it was done after season five, and then Rob hit us up and was like, I texted Rob and I go, wait, is this true that there's another season? Mm-hmm. I thought we had our series finale. And Rob just texted me back. He said, do you want more? Or what's the thing? He said, encore, do you want more? I was like, what? And I'm like, okay, cool. I guess we're coming back for another one. But I think that the last one was definitely the final season.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what we were hyping it up as on MTV as the final season.
Oh, okay. So that thing is kaput.
Yeah, it's over, but Ridiculousness is not.
Oh, and that's a banging show too.
Thank you.
How much fun is that?
It's probably the funnest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fast-paced show, so for me it's a little hectic because I'm a girl, so getting ready is a little hard with that show, because mm-hmm. we're knocking two episodes out. We got to hurry up and get ready, go backstage, change for the next episode, run back out. So it's very fast paced. But when I'm out there and watching these funny videos, I think that's a time in my life when I'm like genuinely the most happy and like,
yeah,
just get to like kick back, which is crazy because it's my job. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I obviously laugh a lot. I like comedic mm-hmm. things. So I think it's the perfect fit for me.
You know, here in Chicago, we were kind of known as like the birthplace of improv and comedy, yep, and stuff like that. I remember there was one episode you actually went to an improv place.
Yes.
Are you still using those skills?
Yes, trying to. You know, I want to get into more improv stuff, because after my music career takes off, I really do want to get into acting.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a passion of mine too since I was a kid. And I think that I want to take more improv classes, because that was honestly one of the funnest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, me and Sterling and Rob and Big Black, like that day we were all laughing more than we've ever laughed. Like ever. I'm not even exaggerating. So that was a really good time for me. I definitely want to do more improv stuff.
Excellent. See, I love the fact that you have this motor, this you're all over the place and you can just, you know, keep it in tone and really just push forward with that.
Thank you.
It speaks a lot of your personality. But let's talk about something even more awesome. These two albums that you put out in 2016 and 2015, Waves and Now You Know. Now, when I was listening to them, I saw kind of a difference. You know, I saw that Waves was more like thoughtful and maybe a slower melody based mm-hmm. Album to me. And then Now You Know it just came at you like hard and aggressive,
yep,
faster beats, more, you know, just straight to the point lyrics and everything.
Yeah.
Does that speak to this motor that you have now? Because now you're like, you know, I have my album out and this is just going to be me pushing it through. Does it speak to your lifestyle now?
Yeah. I mean, well, really what I wanted with Now You Know, I like you said, I wanted to just go full force,
yeah,
especially from coming off of these TV shows and having a lot of people doubt the fact that I'm a legitimate artist. I was like, I'm going to put my all in, put my best records I've been working on, you know, get all my homies that I got to get on here and feature on this. And I really put a lot. I was like, I'm going hard, you know, like I'm going to talk a lot of shit
mm-hmm.
and make sure people know like this isn't a game. And then with Waves, I felt like with Now You Know, I did a lot more like, talking shit, like, you know, proving that I could really rap a lot of party songs. But I was like, I feel like people didn't get to know me enough, or like my story, my struggle or anything. So especially with the song Waves itself, I wanted to really like let people know what I've been through, like just in the past couple years and in my life, and with my song Looking Forward and stuff like that. I wanted it to be like the side of me, the more like vulnerable side that people don't see. Like this is me really like, you know, this is me trying and this is my story and this is what I've been through. So I wanted that message to go across a little bit more than going so hard, just talking a lot of shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I did that enough on Now You Know, so I wanted to like tell a little bit more of the backstory on Waves.
That's so thoughtful and just so genuine. So when you are penning these lyrics and everything, is it still the cliche, I need to be locked in a room and write in my journal real quick, or how do you, what's your songwriting process?
Well, I mean,
like?
I write a lot in my room. That's how I got into writing music, is poetry. I wrote poetry since I was a little girl, and like that's when I kind of discovered, I was like, oh, rapping is basically like poetry over beats. I started writing raps. And I've gotten out a lot of my emotions and stuff through writing. So I do write a lot on my own, because that's one of my hobbies. It's like what I do to like make myself feel better. But in the studio, I like to like get creative and work with, you know, my producer Rich Skills. We bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. Sometimes I'll lay melodies like on the mic before I even write the words. And then I'll lay a melody like just kind of like, you know, mumbling a little bit. And then I'll go back and be like, damn, that melody was sick. And then write the words to that. So it really just depends, like, my writing process is like all kind of different.
Yeah. Do you ever write on the road as well? Like when you're
in
the planes and stuff?
Yes, a lot. Actually, on the plane, that's one thing I like to do. I'll just like sit there and write stuff when I'm just chilling in my hotel. If I have downtime, I mean, like for this trip, I haven't had any time to do anything like that. Like we've just been on the go nonstop. But I do write a lot when I'm traveling. It's like, it's fun too, like to be like somewhere different and like get inspiration from different cities and places you're at, you know? You feel different vibes from like different people, so.
Absolutely. And that's a cool thing that I noticed on your album as well, like the good vibes that you had, you know.
Thank
it was
you.
A very positive album.
Try to keep the good vibes always.
You know, and I also like the, speaking of vibes, I love the use of like samples on your albums, specifically on Let the Money Fall from Waves. You have this great synth piano line, and then on Gone.
We got the NSYNC sample.
The NSYNC sample. I'm digging that. So when you're constructing these songs, I mean, do you have a collection of samples that you choose from?
That's more my producer, because he's the one making the beats.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny because we were going through like old school songs to like, we were like, let's do some like, let's sample like a boy band,
yeah,
or like some old like 90s shit. And we were just going through stuff, and I'm like, yo, we need to redo Gone by NSYNC. And then Rich just like took a little piece of it and started like chopping it up, making the beat with it. And I was like, that's crazy. That's going to be the illest dance song ever.
Yeah.
And that's how that came about. Rich loves samples. So he likes to, you know, play around with like old songs and take little pieces from that and put it in. So. Damn motherfucker, we on. Spend the cash, you a dash, yeah, we gone. Damn motherfucker, we on. Raise the glass, never crash, cause we gone, we gone. You got a lot of samples, yeah.
But I did
very Kanye style beats, you know.
Yeah, but you do it so well. Like the thing that I noticed, like I was listening to it today when I was working out, and it was just like great, just music to keep me pumped and motivated. But none of the songs seem lazy. Like a lot of the albums today that I'm hearing, especially rap albums, just seem a little bit lazy with lyrics and everything. It seems like a lot of thought goes into your music, and that might speak to the fact that you're such a good songwriter, or the fact that Rich Skills, like he is just putting together these like semi like mini masterpieces.
Yeah, no, he really is. That's why I work with him the most. I mean, I've worked with a ton of producers. I used to be signed to Polo to Dawn. I worked with Damon Elliott, Drain Vidal, Midi Mafia, so many like Grammy Award winning producers. And when I got in the studio with Rich, we just had like a different chemistry. I mean, I remember the first time I met him, Rich is a white boy, okay? Mm-hmm. And I heard all these beats and I looked at him, I was like, you made all these beats? I was like, I was tripping, you know? I was like, these are fire. I hadn't met anybody who literally played me beat after beat after beat that I liked, and they're all so different, which is what I love, because I'm like, I don't have one type of sound. Like, I like all types of music. Like, some days I'm feeling like making a party song, sometimes I feel like making a love song. I'm like, I don't like when the producer makes only one type of sound of beats. And Rich is very diverse, which is what I like. So yeah, I feel like together, and he pushes me harder than any other producer did before. Like when we first started working, Rich was the first producer who told me I needed to write better lyrics. I had never worked with a producer who said I wasn't writing good enough. I worked with a lot of people who kind of saw the vision. They were like, oh, she's on TV. Like we could work with this. She's on MTV, you know, but it was him who really like, he even told me, he's like, when I heard your tone, I was like, and Polo said the same thing. I was like, yo, this tone is very unique. It's different. You don't sound like anybody. But it was Rich who told me, he's like, you need to step up your game lyrically. He's like, there's a bunch of white girl rappers coming out the woodworks right now. He's like, you need to set yourself, you know, set the bar higher. And he was the one who really like went in on me on like getting better at writing and like just like, you know, just he pulled a lot more out of me than any producer had. So I guess you could say we're like a magic little team.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We talk to a lot of bands, and we see all the time that it's more so about the relationship and the connection you have with the people you're making music with mm-hmm. than how good they are at making music. I mean, because you can be performing with somebody who is the best producer, the best lyricist, and everything like that, and when you put them together, and it just seems fake. It just doesn't seem real. So how important is it to like kind of build that family when you're creating an album and everything?
It's very important. Yeah. I mean, that's what I realized. Like, I finally started making the music I wanted to make when we started working. And, you know, let's just say we spent a lot of time together. So we were together a lot. And Rich has a home studio. So it was just probably the most convenient situation, you know, to, like, always just be in the studio. We didn't have to, like, pay for studio time because he has it in his house, you know. So it was a very dream situation for me. I feel like it was kind of fate, like how we met and everything. I'll never forget the first time I went to a studio session. It's way up in the hills and nobody has service up there. And I was lost and I hadn't heard of him. And I was literally like, I was like, I never heard of this producer. I'm about to peace out, man. I'm not searching through the hills for any longer. I got no service. I'm like out asking neighbors where to go. And then finally, like, I get some service, and his like friend who he was working with that day, the engineer, was like, oh, like, here, I finally got a hold of you. Like, just go this way, da da da. So I finally get to the studio. I'm like, get there like an hour late because I was so lost. And I was like pissed off because I was like really mad. Like, I'm like, I just wasted an hour of my time like looking for this place. And then I got there and heard the beats and I was like, oh, this is fate. Like, I was meant to be here. Like, that hour of drama trying to find my way here was, you know, was a little block, a little roadblock, but it was like God like put me there. You know what I mean? I can't explain it. It's like, I just feel like it was fate that we met and got together and made some magic.
That's so cool. You had to go through like an adventurous journey.
No, it's like that. Everybody who goes to Rich's studio, people know this. Like, we've had people they lose service at the driveway and his driveway's hella scary. Mm-hmm. And like, we've had people like, we're like, okay, don't make that left turn. They're like, what? And then they cut off and they're like, uh-oh, I'm not going down that driveway. They said, don't make a left turn, you know? So then there's people who are scared to, like, drive down the driveway to Rich's house. It's a very hard studio to get to, let's put it that way. But once you get there, it's worth it.
Yeah, those hills can be a little bit terrifying
in LA,
at times. Yes.
It's something to get used to. But I know the LA back streets like no other. I could take the back streets through the hills of LA. This is something I learned in high school because I was driving without a license. I can literally take the back streets through the hills all of LA and get you everywhere, like from the beach to Hollywood. Like, I know those back streets. So I'm very familiar with the hills back streets.
Well, because that's where you grew up and stuff, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. So how does that influence your music today, you know, growing up in the Valley? You actually make mention of it on your album sometimes.
Yep. I mean, growing up in the Valley, especially the schools I went to, you know, I grew up going to schools that are very diverse. You know, I went to schools where it was like a lot of rich kids, but also a lot of broke kids, you know, getting bussed in from the hood. And it's like a very diverse, you know, group of people. And also in the Valley, it's like, that's just how it is. It's like, I grew up like around like skaters and then around like performing arts, drama kids and cheerleaders. And it's like, I was kind of like friends with everybody. And that's what I love about not just the Valley, but about LA. I feel like it's the place where like kind of everybody gets together and gets along. It's not so segregated. It's like everybody kind of mixes, you know, you don't have to be a certain like race or a certain style. Like everybody, like where I'm from, kind of just hangs out together, you know what I mean? So I feel like that really influenced my music. I think that it made me like more open-minded and made me like work, do more style, like different styles of stuff. So
yeah, so it isn't like the Tupac, Biggie, you know, East Side, West Side kind of thing. It's just everyone's just all together today.
Yeah, like that's how it was. Like, you know, it's funny because I get a lot of like really ignorant, like racist comments in on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm like, where are you from? Like, where I went to school, every color of people hung out together. Like, every style of people hung out. You know, I would go over to the stoner group, and then like me and my one stoner homie would be like, oh, let's go say hi to like the preppy people now. You know, mm-hmm. Like it was like everybody always kicked it together. That's really how it is in LA. You know, people blend a lot. It's very diverse, you know?
Yeah, that's important. I mean, it probably speaks to the fact that there's so much sun there. I mean, here in Chicago, you can see today that we're a draft in a windy and rainy day, so people are a little bit more bitter.
The draft for the NFL draft.
That's right. The NFL draft is going on here. Big ups to the NFL.
Yep, shout out to the NFL.
So speaking of that, do you got a favorite team?
I would say the Raiders.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm from Cali. And I've heard that apparently the Raiders are fans of mine. So, shout out to the Raiders.
So that's some free merch. Maybe you'll be singing the National Anthem or something like
Yo,
that.
Yo, that would be sick, actually.
Wouldn't it be?
I would love to do that.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's go back to the album and everything. So, I wanted to know, speaking of JTT, or not JTT, Justin Timberlake.
JT.
Totally different guy, in fact. What were some of your early influences? Like, who did you have postered on your wall back in the day?
Well, as a little girl, I mean, even now, one of the people I look up to the most is Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like she's such a diverse artist. I love the fact that she went from being in a rock band to basically rapping, doing hip-hop music with Pharrell. And she's just so, like, she's everything, you know? Like, every type of person likes her. She's got such a unique style. She's somebody that I aspire to be like. So that's definitely one of my idols. As far as rap goes, Tupac is what got me started rapping. Like, I would listen to Tupac, and it was actually one time I was in like 6th or 7th grade. I was writing down the lyrics. This is before like lyrics.com and all this stuff. I was writing down the lyrics to a Tupac song so I could rap the words to it and like look cool. And so as I was writing the lyrics, I like realized, I'm like, I could do this. This is writing poetry over a beat. And like, that's when it clicked in my head. And that's when I started writing my own stuff and forgot about just writing down the lyrics to songs to learn them. So Tupac's definitely huge influence. I would say, as far as performing goes, Britney Spears. People might be shocked by me saying that, but I just feel like she's such an incredible dancer and performer. And like, as a little girl, that was somebody I really looked up to. I was like, I want to be on stage dancing my ass off just like that. So it's just a lot of different people that have like influenced me, you know, and like motivated me to do what I'm doing.
I love that because it's so true. Like, you know, it's all these different people that need to come and make like a good Chanel West Coast stew, I guess I would say.
Yeah. Oh, and Eminem, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once Eminem came out, it was like, oh, okay. I can do this now.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, Eminem's definitely a huge influence of mine. I actually have a very similar like background to him, and like, I understand a lot of stuff he talks about with his life and his mom, and so I relate to him a lot, and that's another thing that motivated me. I was like, yo, I got the same life story as this dude. Like, I need to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what are some of your favorite Eminem albums?
Definitely his first one, I think that's the Marshall Mathers.
Oh. Yeah, can you, when that came out, that changed.
That was the best one ever.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like, yo, even my mom's like a heavy metal, like rock chick. And mm-hmm. like, I remember my mom bumping Eminem, and I was like, dang, my mom fucks with Eminem too. Like, this is tight. So like, that was a good album, especially like, I know when my mom listens to rap, it's extra good rap because my mom's not really even a fan of rap music. I get most of my hip hop influence from my dad because my dad's a DJ from Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So going to visit my dad growing up, that's where I was like listening to a lot of hip hop, and like, that's where I get a lot more of my musical influences from my father. But yeah, for my mom though, whenever she likes rap, I know it's good because she's like more of a rock chick, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just going back to that album, it was the first album where, you know, it really brought everyone together. Everyone's like, oh, this is just a really great rap album. Like, there was no, it was just like high school, you know? There weren't people who were like, oh, I'm into it, I'm not into it. You know, yo, you like Eminem, not too cool.
Yeah.
And then it just brought everyone together.
No, I really feel like it did.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was a little bit angry at first, but I feel like that's what people liked because, like, he was like really like talking some shit people didn't talk, you know, like, so I feel like a lot of people like gave Eminem respect because he was saying shit that nobody else would say.
Yeah.
So that's also what I aspire to be like, just speaking my mind and not caring what anybody thinks.
Absolutely, because when he came out with that album, I mean, it was a time when it was all bubblegum pop. I mean, that was the thing to be a part of. TRL was happening, and then he put out that album, and it just changed the counterculture. What's that change? What's that thing that separates you as a rapper today, like in this world of like all this oversaturated, you know, Drake and Kanye and everybody, and they're at the top of their game? What makes you like really stand out?
I think I'm different in my own way. I feel like I got a different like style of rapping. Like, I don't really stick to like one like slow flow or mm-hmm. like I'm not like super fast all the time. Like, I mix it up. I diverse. That's my word. I like to just stay diverse and like put all different flavors into it. I think I stand out a little bit because I also sing my own hooks, which a lot of rappers don't do. I think it's very important to be able to do songs completely on your own instead of needing a feature for every single song you do to come in and sing your hook. So I think that that's a very strong point of mine, is that I am able to rap my verses and sing my hooks, and I don't need to rely on features to help me with that.
Is that you singing on Without You?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I knew it. That's a great part that you sing there. I made mention of that.
I actually did an acoustic performance of that at South by Southwest with Adam, right?
Adam Stewart.
Yeah, with our friend Adam Stewart. He played guitar, and I did that acoustic, and like it was really cool because I never imagined doing that song acoustic, but the type of show that they wanted me to perform was like a more acoustic thing, and I'm like,
Daytrotter.
You were down at Daytrotter.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love that song. That's actually a song that I feel like could have been a huge radio hit, should have been, but
Still has legs.
Yeah, fuck it, right? Let's do a music video. We still put it out.
Come on.
It literally is like a top 40 song. But
So what's your connection to ballads? Because when I was listening to your albums, I mean, I was like, oh, this song's a little bit different. I kind of like it. And do you plan on doing more of these ballady type songs?
I would like to sing a lot more. Mm-hmm. I started doing music by rapping and like writing my own raps. I've sang since I was a little girl, but that's kind of why I started rapping, was I wasn't really like sure how to write these type of singing songs. You know, like I'll hear a Mariah Carey song, I'm like, that's amazing, but I didn't know where to begin writing a song like that. So it was easier for me to write raps. And eventually from working with different producers and I got more into writing my own melodies and melodic stuff. But I still feel like I can't fully write that singing, that big ballady singing song on my own yet. So I've been working with a couple songwriters on doing more singing stuff. I would really like to sing a lot more, but I also want to stay true to who I am and write most of my music myself, which is why I still rap a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's going to be more singing involved. I've been working with like songwriters and stuff on that.
Absolutely. That was a great like surprise when I was listening to the album. So excellent job.
Thank
I suppose.
You.
So you're playing HVAC tonight, or also known as Havoc, also known as 10 other things.
We don't really know what it's called. We know how to spell it.
HVAC. It's actually a sweet place to play shows at.
That's what I heard.
Now, but to be honest, this might be the last time that you're playing a venue this small. I mean, cuz
hopefully.
You've got a motor on you. So how do you manage to stay grounded when you have like this skyrocketing career?
You know, I live in LA, so that's how I stay grounded. Let's just say that everybody there is a star. There's a million huge celebrities walking down the street, you know, so like when there's people like, you know, Angelina and Brad Pitt at the cafe, they're not going to be paying attention to Chanel West Coast, you know? So it's like living somewhere like LA, it's very easy for me, especially coming from nothing. I didn't grow up a little rich girl in LA. I grew up with no money, with a single mom. So it's very easy for me to like stay grounded, stay humble. I still haven't made it to that point yet where I can fully like pay off all my mom's bills and buy her dream car yet. So those are goals for me. And I feel like until I get to that next level, like there's no way even when I get to that level, I'm like, I don't see myself ever being any different. You know, like I feel like I'm the same person I was before I had money. I just got a like nicer clothes now. That's about it.
I saw you got a pretty sick ride too.
Yeah, I got that's my baby. I got my dream car finally. My Porsche. I'm obsessed with it. I actually like try to drive less now because I'm like, I don't want to put all the miles on it. Like, like now that I got the car, I really want to drive. I don't even drive as much.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool ride.
Thank you.
I kind of said that Larry David style for a second. Now, do you prefer to play these small venues, or do you like larger venues, larger rooms?
I can't wait to perform for like arena tours. I mean, right now the type of shows I'm doing, it's smaller venues, sometimes smaller stages. I can't always like bring dancers out with me and have a full set like I'd like to do. I've been dancing since I was a little girl, and that's one of the things that really got me into performing, was being a dancer. So that's a huge aspect of performing to me. I feel like I want to dance more and have my dancers with me. I'm not doing these big arenas yet though, where it makes sense to bring out all of that, you know? So I can't wait till I'm performing at bigger venues and I can have a bigger set and a better show for my fans. I feel like actually right now the places I'm performing at, I'm not able to, you know, I feel bad like I can't show them as much as I want to show because it's a small little stage. I can't really bring out the whole crew with me, you know? So I can't wait till it's a bigger place and I can really give the show that I think my fans deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to see those pyrotechnics in your show and everything like
that.
Yeah,
I'm a little scared of that shit, though. I'm not going to lie. I've lit my hair on fire a couple of times. So I use a lot of hairspray. But yeah, we'll have some crazy visuals and all that. I don't know about the pyrotechnics, though, because I'm scared of that shit.
So what's left to conquer in the rap game? I mean, I set goals for myself, and I'm sure that everyone else does. It's a good thing to do, especially when we're building a career. Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
In 5 years, I would love to have some big awards under my belt. Mm-hmm. I was just saying this in the last interview. You know, since I was little, like I competing in a lot of competitions and talent shows, I loved getting trophies. Mm-hmm. Every time I won first place, it was like I was so proud. I literally would like sleep with a trophy in my bed. So I would really like to win some awards and get some like true recognition for my music. I think that that's when I'd be really like happy and satisfied, and then we could start focusing on like family life and stuff because I love kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start a daycare or something. West Coast daycare.
Yeah, West Coast daycare.
I swear
daycare.
We'll take care of your kids, I promise.
That's the tagline painted underneath like balloons and stuff like that. I promise we'll take care of your kids.
Kidchella. We'll call it Kidchella.
That's dope. So you're here in Chicago. What are some of the must-do things while you're here in the city?
Must-do things in Chicago?
Or some of your favorite things you like to do when you come here? Because you've been here a lot over the past few months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, shopping. Mm-hmm. Millennium Park. I like it. I like to get to, like, go out and party different places and, mm-hmm. like, see different crowds. I definitely like to... What's the poppin' food here? Pizza, right? But that's kind of New York, too, though, so you guys are in competition. Maybe I need to go test out some pizza here and see what's better. Oh, that's where it's from?
Okay. Yeah, we do the deep dish, but to be honest, like nobody from Chicago really eats the deep dish. It's all just the lure of the city. We're more of a thin crust kind of people. But if you do want to, what was that?
Our taco game is pretty good.
Oh, our taco game is off the.
Pretty good taco game.
I mean, I'm in LA, bro. I'm basically like basically in New Mexico. So, you know what I mean? Like, let's be real. We got the best Mexican food in LA.
You really do. It's a lot healthier out there. We're good with our burgers. If you ever want to try a good burger, we have some good spots.
You're making me so hungry right now. Like, none of us have ate. He's like naming all of this bomb shit. Like everybody in the room's like, can we just hurry up and go eat?
Well, I guess we'll leave it on that then. You can check out. Oh, before we go, we got to talk about your new track, The Life with Rocky Fresh from Chicago.
Yes.
When's that dropping?
That's dropping in the next couple weeks. We're going to drop the video and the song simultaneously at the same time. So once that's out, you'll be seeing and hearing a lot of it.
I can't wait.
I can't wait too.
So excited. Thank you again for joining us. This is Sound Sessions. Go and check out Chanel West Coast tonight at HVAC here in Chicago. Chanel, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And I can't even call it. Every time I drink like an alcoholic. And I can't even call it. Every time I drink like an alcoholic.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at SoundSeshPod. And check us out on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN.
Wait, just really quick. I did an interview one time, and they specifically said, no. Do you remember, Rosa, were you with me? And they said, no cursing. And, like, literally one of the first questions they asked me, I said, man, fuck the police. And they were like, Chanel, we said no. I was like, oh, whoops, my bad. It was, like, it was part of this phrase, you know? Mm-hmm.